The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. To our friends listening on the Progressive Voices Network, welcome to the show. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I've been on the air for about an hour and a half already, because I was sitting here in my studio preparing for the show today, watching an attempted coup, watching armed insurrectionists take over the United States Capitol, enter the chambers of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives and the office of the Speaker of the House, and have their way. Seriously, they put a note on Nancy Pelosi's desk saying, "We will not give up. We'll be back," or some nonsense like that. Some swine sat back in her chair and put his feet up on her desk. There was one of these terrorists sitting behind the president's desk, the Senate president, on the floor of the Senate, which had to be cleared out as they were going about their business of certifying the Electoral College votes that make it official that Joe Biden will be the next president. And we thankfully get rid of that piece of shit, dictator wannabe, asshole, inciter of violence and insurrection, Donald Trump. I'm just stunned. So right now, CNN has a video up telling us that riot police are moving Trump's mob away from the Capitol. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, at peaceful protests for Black Lives Matter, the law enforcement brought out pepper spray, tear gas, rubber bullets, and worse. And these people are armed, and they breached the Capitol building, and I didn't see any of that. Is it because they're white? Because we've got a real problem in this country. We have everything back asswards, and it's got to change. Now, the good news is the Democrats now control the Senate. Yes. Last night, this morning, 2 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts, the race, the Senate race between Raphael Warnock and Kelly Loeffler was called. And officially, it is Senator-elect Raphael Warnock. He won. Yeah. But the other race was very close. John Ossoff versus inside stock trader and crook, which now these days is just a synonym for Republican, David Perdue. Well, just about not even an hour ago, as Joe Biden was ineffectively addressing the nation about this attempted overthrow of the government going on right now under the orders of Donald Trump, CBS News was the first ones to step out and call that race for John Ossoff. Yes, that means the Democrats won both of those must-win Senate races yesterday. And Mitch McConnell is no longer Senate Majority Leader. Now, that deserves a round of applause.
Again,
all right.
The Vice President of the United States.
Okay, hold on. We're listening to CNN right now.
United States, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader.
What about them?
And so on and so forth. So there are going to be giant questions about how this happened, the challenge now. And as you see, as Brian Todd noted, they have come down to the bottom of the steps now. They're slowly starting to move them away. Hopefully that happens without violence.
But those people are still allowed to mill about with their guns. And where are the arrests? Where are the paddy wagons? Every one of these people should have been loaded in a paddy wagon and hauled off to jail. They breached the Capitol.
Once again, he repeated a lie. He said the election was stolen. He said he won a landslide election, which is, of course, another lie. But then he told these rioters, he said, "So go home. We love you. You're very special."
Oh, my God.
What was your reaction when you heard that?
Again, this is a consistent failure of leadership from this president.
There is no leadership from this president.
And at moments when he needs to challenge his own supporters and tell them to behave and pay attention.
Hey, by the way, I've got a little message for Donald Trump, and it comes from Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch, I'm going to play this for you a lot. You ready?
You know, you can't win them all, and elections have consequences.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Hopefully, the Democrats have enough balls to deal with those consequences. Oh, great. Now I just closed out the CNN stream. we'll see if MSNBC will come back up. While we're waiting, I know they're going to play a commercial, aren't they? Because that's what they do. So I'm trying to stay on top of what is happening as we watch. I knew today was going to be an historic day. We knew that, today was the day that they were supposed to be certifying the Electoral College votes in Congress. And, we'll take a little break from this madness. And let me show you what I was working on earlier today, because I was watching the beginnings of the unfolding of the hearing. Right. And I do have I've got some audio, but I honestly didn't have a chance to cut it up. I've got a lot of flagged sections on this this recording I have going. But I pulled the last three times today's events, the first part of today's events, the certification of the Electoral College votes in Congress happened. And let's go back three, okay, to the year 2000. You remember that, Bush v. Gore, who could forget it, right? And it falls to the sitting vice president, who is the Senate president, to preside over the joint session of Congress when they bring up, they do a roll call of the states and ask if anybody objects to hearing, to opening or counting the votes of the electors that each state has certified. So, In 2000, you remember, there was a real problem where, Jeb Bush, who was the governor of Florida, happened to be the brother of the Republican presidential candidate. And, you know, things happened in Florida and they got the Supreme Court somehow, Sandra Day O'Connor, I blame her, to step in and say, stop the counting. Republicans are ahead by 400 and some odd votes. They got it. They won. There were grounds to object here, because if ever there was a problem with how an election was decided, 2000 is a perfect example. And I would think that the members of Congress had a really, really good excuse for saying, no, this I object. The problem is, the way it works, you can only really air your objection if you also have a member of the Senate sign off on your objection. So the first one up today was when they got to the state of Arizona, Paul Gosar. He's that reprehensible dentist whose brother called him out for being the piece of shit that he is. He's like, I object. And then Mike Pence, who is presiding over the Senate today in his role, and that's all he does. It's a ceremonial thing. Says, well, do you have a senator to sign off on it with you? And in comes Raphael, Ted Cruz, of course. Ugh, dick nose. Look at him. Next time you see him, look at his nose. He has a penis on his face. I'm telling you. And now that you're aware of it, you're never going to be able to not see it. Sorry. I see it every time I look at him. So now you can. Anyway, so Ted Cruz was his Senate flunky. And then when that happens, they're like, okay, our joint session stands adjourned. The House will stay here and deliberate. The Senate will go to the Senate chambers and deliberate. They'll debate it. They'll vote on it. If both the House and Senate vote to go along with this objection, I guess then those Electoral College votes are put aside. It's never happened. I don't know. So 20 years ago, 2000 election, Bush v. Gore, I was in Kazakhstan adopting my kid. Flew home. The day I left Kazakhstan, had to come out through Moscow. The day I left was December 13th, the day that Al Gore conceded. He conceded. He gave up. He's like, okay, you ruled. I am not going to fight this because I know what will happen to the nation if I do. I think it was the wrong move, but I'm just reporting on history. So Al Gore does that. And then on January 6th, it's time for the certification of the votes. And Al Gore has to preside over the Senate. And I'm not playing the whole thing for you, obviously. Here's a little bit of what went on. You know, shit, I wish I could play it. I wonder if I can. If I could play it from this screen. Yeah, it's too late to set it up now. All right, I'm just going to play it here. I can't comment through it. So this video is only like, it's 2.5 minutes. All right, so I take you back through the magic of videotape and time to January 6th, 2001. Here we go.
Mr. President, there are many Americans who still believe that the results we are going to certify today are illegitimate.
Deliberate fraud and an attempt to suppress voter
turnout. The chair must remind members that under Section 18...
I rise to object to the fraudulent 25 Florida electoral votes.
Maxine Waters.
Objection in writing and signed by a member of the House and a senator.
The objection is in writing, and I don't care that it is not signed by a member of the Senate.
You go, Maxine.
The chair will advise that the rules do care, and the signature of the senator... The signature of a senator is required. The chair will again put that part of the question. Is the objection signed by a senator?
Mr. Vice President, there are gross violations of the Voting Rights Act from Florida.
You go, Maxine.
And I object, and it is not signed by a senator.
The chair thanks the gentlewoman from California on the basis previously stated. The point of order may not be received.
Objecting to the idea that votes in Florida were not counted. And it's a sad day in America, Mr. President, when we can't find a senator to sign
the gentleman,
objections.
The gentleman will suspend.
States is
538, of which a majority is 270. George W. Bush of the state of Texas has received for President of the United States 271 votes. Al Gore of the state of Tennessee has received 266 votes.
He had to do this.
The state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January 2001, and shall be entered together with a list of the votes on the journals of the Senate and the House of Representatives. May God bless our new president and our new vice president, and may God bless the United States of America.
All right. So that was 2001. 20 years ago today, that happened. Al Gore, I don't know, I think he should have fought because he had a legitimate case, unlike what's going on today. But not one senator would stand up with a lot of Democrats in the House who said, wait a minute, this is not all right. Not one Democratic senator would do that. Then let's move forward to the next election. The next president, because George W. Bush occupied that White House for 8 years. Fast forward to January 2009. Barack Obama won that election, remember? And this year, for whatever reason, the certification came on January 8th. And it was Darth Cheney himself who was the vice president. Therefore, he presided over the joint session of Congress where they came together to certify the Electoral College votes. And again, this one kind of went smoothly. No, nobody really objected to Obama, did they? Here's what happened then. Hey, Dick.
Madam Speaker, members of Congress, Pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Senate and House of Representatives are meeting in joint session to verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for President and Vice President of the United States. After ascertainment has been had that the certificates are authentic and correct in form, the tellers will count and make a list of the votes cast by the electors of the several states. The tellers on the part of the two houses will take their places at the clerk's desk.
So this was how the procedure is supposed to go. This is how it went. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's kind of boring.
Portions of the certificates. After ascertaining that certificates are regular in form and authentic, the tellers will announce the votes cast by the electors for each state, beginning with Alabama.
Alabama.
Mr. President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Alabama seems to be regular in form and authentic.
So that's how it went. They were all regular in form and authentic, and nobody objected, and they got through the whole thing probably in about a half hour, and it was certified, and Barack Obama was president, Joe Biden vice president, and it's done. That's how this day is supposed to go. Let's move ahead. Let's move ahead to 4 years ago when we had an election that we know there was foreign interference in, all right? It hurts me just to even say this. So Donald Trump inexplicably won that election. Joe Biden was the vice president and therefore, as Senate president, came in to preside over the joint session of Congress. I'm warning you now, you're not going to be happy with Joe Biden because there were a number of objectors from the House on the Democrat side. Yes, some of the faces will be familiar. Maxine Waters is there again. Here's a little bit of what happened 4 years ago. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I object to a certificate from the state of North Carolina based on violations of the Voting Rights
Act. There is no debate in the joint session. The chair has previously ruled a signature from a senator is required. Is there a signature from a senator?
There is a signature from the House of Representatives, myself.
The objection cannot be received without a signature from the senator.
Mr. President, I object on behalf of the millions of Americans, including members of the intelligence community.
There is no debate. Debate is prohibited.
Unreal.
The chair has previously ruled a signature from a senator is required. The objection cannot be sustained unless one is available.
Mr. President, despite grave concerns of the intelligence officials
objection
trying to interfere
with
our election, it is signed by my
Senator Klobuchar.
Unreal.
Senator Klobuchar, continue to tally.
To the votes from the state of Wisconsin, which were not should not be legally certified
no debate.
Or regularly
does
given.
The gentlelady,
the
does she?
In the city of Milwaukee, 60,000.
Please come to order.
For the majority.
The chair has previously ruled. The gentlewoman will suspend. As the chair has previously ruled, a signature from a senator is required. Is there such a signature?
I do have a written document with
the
my
objection
signature
cannot
on the
be received.
Senator, but the Russian intrusion
the clerk will continue to call the roll.
I wish to ask, is
there's
there
Maxine.
One United States senator who will join me in this letter
there is
of
no
objection.
Debate. There is no debate. The gentlewoman will suspend. The chair has previously ruled a signature from a senator is required. Objection cannot be received.
And hold on. And it went like that. And no Democratic senator would join with the Democratic House members who objected to the certification of the votes that made Donald Trump president. Not saying, I'm not even commenting on whether that was right or wrong, just saying that's what happened 4 years ago. Today, you had how many? I don't even know. How many were prepared on both the House side and the Senate side to perpetuate the fraud that are the lies from Donald Trump? And that's what led to this today. So today is also a very auspicious historical anniversary, which we'll get to in a moment. But so I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather have on with me today than a professor of democracy and justice, although he's retired now thanks to COVID. I think I have an intro for Harvey J.K. here somewhere because he used to be a regular on this program, and it goes like this.
Well, where is he?
Where is who?
Where is Harvey?
Oh, you mean Harvey J.K.
Yeah, Harvey.
Well, he's coming up right now on the Nicole Sandler Show.
And there he is. Sorry, I had to get the intro in. Former professor of democracy and justice at you're back?
Professor Emeritus.
Oh, Professor Emeritus. Okay. Yes. at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I just got to ask you, put aside the events of what was supposed to be happening today, what is going on in D.C. right now where Donald Trump's supporters, his cult followers, his minions, followed his orders and came to D.C. today to protest and be wild. And they breached the Capitol. They're armed. Your thoughts, Harvey J.K.?
Well, yeah, my first thought is that clearly what we witnessed today was something of a right-wing Trump insurrection. It was either part of Donald Trump's plan to stage a coup. Because imagine had they actually made it into the House and Senate chambers while those folks were still okay.
And they were trying.
Decidedly trying. And they broke into offices along the way. You know what I just saw both on Twitter and I actually saw in a video before I came on, CNN didn't make a comment on this. It looked like the Capitol Hill police just opened the gates.
Yeah.
And allowed them to flood in. And well, first of all, I don't know why it was that given the situation and given the likelihood, you can hear me okay, right?
I hear you fine. Okay. No, I heard you good.
Okay. How come they weren't better prepared for the numbers? Okay, that I know that this morning the mayor of D.C. had basically put out an alert for the National Guard, you know, to, at least for a certain units of the National Guard to be ready. Mm-hmm. But it struck me that it seemed like they were under the male gender undermanned.
Yes.
On Capitol Hill. Okay, and so I really did wonder about that. I also saw. And nobody commented when I was watching that a gate was open to allow people to flood in. And it's just striking that the investigation can not only be an investigation of who are these people and to what extent they will suffer not just arrest, but jail time, imprisonment or whatever for staging, you know, an insurrection. Moreover, we should be very, very clear about the possibility of Donald Trump incited it. I think
yes,
he used
he
the term. He incited it. I mean, he's been preparing it for four years, clearly. And this was the moment because he didn't need this incitement to raise the money that he's been raising on the claim that that somehow he was cheated out of the victory. This was beyond simply his greedy, avaricious kind of give me your money. Instead of giving me your poor, you're tired and so on, it's give me your money and everything will be cool. So it really does. It's striking the degree to which we're going to need a serious investigation. I do hope that the Democrats, who have never shown themselves to be up to anything of real consequence for some time, are up to pursuing it. OK, I hope that let's put it this way. There's already talk right tonight. You know, acts of impeachment are being filed or whatever else.
Yeah. The 25th Amendment should be.
Exactly.
And Mike Pence needs to initiate it. And he should, because while he, you know, allegedly he came out before he presided over the beginning of this thing today and said, I'm not going to do what Trump's asking me to do. I don't have the legal authority to. Well, he couldn't do what Trump asked him to do because he doesn't have the legal authority to do anything.
Right.
So that was no skin off of his teeth. but he did that. He said it. And Trump tweeted. Mike Pence threw us under the bus, basically sicking his sycophants on Mike Pence. Pence should say, you know what? Fuck you. I'm 25th Amendmenting you, you fucking crazy bastard.
Right. You know, and by the way, as I told you, I would have joined you almost immediately when you said the show was underway.
Right. You talked to Australia.
I got invited on by my old friend. Maybe you remember Josh Zepps. Do you remember Josh Sipps? He did a lot of stuff over here with, you know, Huffington Post and Sirius X. I mean, he's Australian. He's back in Australia. He's been doing radio and TV back there. And we've stayed in touch. And I do his whatever show he's running at any given time, he tries to get me on. This was an unexpected call.
Okay.
He was doing the morning call-in show on Australian Broadcasting. Would I come on to offer my views of the situation? Because they already had reporters giving the news.
Right.
And I was speaking. And at the very end, I said, and by the way, if your Australian listeners think this is mere sort of distant entertainment, I want to remind everyone that Donald Trump still has the nuclear codes.
And he does for another 14 days.
Yes. So indeed, the 25th Amendment must. Can we expect his cabinet to do that?
I think at this point, after this today... I think so. How could they not? He egged these people on. He summoned them to D.C. to be wild, to do just what they did. And then he said, we love you. Just go home. But we love you. What?
I actually wrote down. We love you. You're very special.
Yeah, you're very special. Yes, special. Like, you know, the people on the short bus.
Right. And of course, he started out by saying, of course, you know, I understand what you're going through. This was a stolen election. Yeah. Right to the last. Okay?
Exactly.
Right,
you know, no, it wasn't, because he thinks anybody who votes against him doesn't count. I mean, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And this, I mean, we should have seen it coming. Some of us did. My first thought when he was elected, I mean, even before he was elected, during the campaign, I was thinking, there's no way the Republican Party is going to let this guy be their nominee. And here we are.
Here we are. I have to tell you, my daughter and her fiance quarantined up in New York State and then did a 20-hour drive to come visit us in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
So they've been here for several days, and they're going to do another test and go back on the weekend. Well, what's interesting is my daughter said, let's go for a drive, Dad, you and I. So we went out of Green Bay into the country, and it's a little bit foggy, but it's pretty because it's all, you know, hoarfrost, H-O-A-R.
Hoarfrost. No, I never heard that before.
You wouldn't know about hoarfrost down in Florida, but believe me, hoarfrost. And we're riding along, and I got a text from one of my former students who's very active politically. And he said, the Capitol has been breached. And I thought it was.
Oh, this was today? This was today?
Yeah, as we were driving around out in the country this afternoon.
Oh.
So we get this text, and then we put on Sirius XM, and of course, to get CNN. And of course, that was the story. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you that though I thought he was joking, it didn't surprise me because of how evident it was from his own behavior and from his performance this morning, that this is exactly what he wanted. And then that he stood by in silence. Here's the fucking president. Look, I had never expected him to be anything other than exactly what he turned out to be.
I'm with you.
But it struck me that when the moment of insurrection occurred, he didn't even try to distance himself from it.
No.
So clearly, he actually should be taken into custody, mm-hmm. right? The cabinet should convene. He should be taken into custody. He should be charged with sedition,
inciting violence,
treason, inciting insurrection, yep. the whole thing. And then, you know, I mean, then we can start moving on in America when he and his supporters basically end up in Guantanamo together.
Right. But here's what I don't get. I don't know why I didn't see paddy wagons backed up to the Capitol steps and all of these people just shoveled inside. They treat them like they treated the kid who shot up the people at the AME church in South Carolina, where they took him to fucking McDonald's to get him something to eat, instead of treating him like they did Breonna Taylor or what's his name? Jordan Blake, who there's no charges being brought against the cops who shot him 6 times in the back and paralyzed him. If these protesters were Black Lives Matter protesters, I promise you the response would have been entirely different today. It wouldn't have been peaceful. There would have been a lot more bloodshed.
I have to, as a side, your outrage, I share your outrage.
Deep breath. Sorry.
Because I was listening, you know, so when we tuned into CNN, I don't know if you remember my telling you the story about 3 years ago, Jake Tapper.
Yeah.
Jake Tapper said on CNN that he believes that Donald Trump, too, loves America.
Ay, ay, ay.
So I challenged him.
Donald Trump doesn't love anything but himself.
Of course. Of course. And we went back and forth. So today, Tapper's tone is utterly different.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
And utterly different regarding Trump. But I couldn't help but send him a tweet. I don't know if he'll even bother to respond. And I said, 3 years ago, Jake, I had to correct you when you said Donald Trump loves America. I'm waiting for your apology. Okay. But I mean, today, obviously, again, as you said early on, today was the day I really expected us to talk about two things: the fight for the four freedoms,
yes,
and those freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear that FDR pronounced to America and the world 80 years ago today.
80 years ago today.
And then we might get to talk about the fucking idiots in the Republican Party who wanted to bother to spend anywhere from 6 to 15 hours. It's 2 hours, 6 to 10 hours. That's it. Debating the results of the election. Okay?
Right. Already been certified in every court. And he lost 60 court cases. They brought these alleged proof and evidence to court, and he was struck down over 60 times, and yet they have to do this today?
Right. I mean, Republican secretaries of state couldn't find grounds upon which they could somehow undo the results.
Yeah.
You know?
Donald Trump's own Roy Cohn, Bill Barr, said, there's no evidence of fraud here.
Right.
There's no there. It's not there.
Remind me, did he resign or did Donald fire him?
He resigned. Yes.
Right.
Yes. I'm doing the air quotes for those not watching video because nobody resigns. They're told to resign. And I don't think Bill Barr has any kind of, you know, what's the word, principles? There's nothing there. He did all kinds of heinous shit, but he just wasn't enough for Donald Trump because he wasn't willing to lie, cheat, and steal the election to overturn the will of the American people and say, no, we're going to make it so you won.
One other sidebar regarding CNN.
Yeah.
I want you to know, I never watch any cable news shows.
Good for you. I do, because I need to know what's going on.
Happening. You got to find out what's going on.
Right.
So, I was reminded that they have that utter jerk and utter yo-yo, Rick Santorum on CNN.
I'm sorry. They have a lot of them. It's my problem with cable news.
Well, when they asked him about what did he make of it, he said, "Well, I don't think Donald." He actually said, "I don't think Donald Trump ever wanted this kind of thing to happen." And I thought, yank this guy off. Give us a break. It's bad enough to put up with Wolf Blitzer and company.
No
kidding. Don't do this to us.
No kidding. But then I go back and forth between CNN and MSNBC, and you go to MSNBC and you have all the Never Trumpers there because they think that they've got a new home. They're not with Trump. So MSNBC is now the home of the Never Trumper and the Republicans who are disenfranchised.
Yeah, well, I can't bring myself to put on MSNBC because as bad as CNN is in a generic fashion, I can never forgive them for having on folks who revealed not only their antagonism towards Bernie, but made expressions of anti-Semitism. I will not.
Who was anti-Semitic?
Joy Reid.
Yeah, well,
she put on that body language specialist. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Believe me, Joy was on this show, and if anyone wants to hear it, it was July 3rd, not 2020, 2019. She had a book out. I told her exactly what I thought of her. And it's, my shows are available. The archives are right there at NicoleSandler.com. You can go back through them. I don't have a paywall because I know people are hurting, and I hope that people who can afford to contribute to the show will, but I don't believe in paywalls. So it's there. Joy Reid, I have nothing but utter contempt for. So I can't watch her. I can't watch Jason Johnson, who's another one who talked about...
That's the guy. That's the other one. Yes, absolutely.
Horrible. Horrible. But I do like... Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to plant a thought in your head to please try to invite me on maybe the next day after the inaugural address is delivered.
Okay, let's do it.
So we can see to what extent Joe Biden is as bad as we worried, or maybe not.
All right, well, let's make it. That's Friday.
I take inaugural addresses very seriously, right, as you can imagine. I mean, when I heard Barack Obama back in 2009 deliver his inaugural address, I knew we were in trouble.
Yep.
And I can always talk about that if you want that day. But in fact, I probably talked about it with you back in 2009.
I'm sure we did. Right.
You know, and then so I want to see to what extent Biden does the kind of thing that Bill Clinton did and Barack Obama, where he basically told Americans, even though they couldn't bring themselves to hear it, that basically don't expect things to change.
Oh God. Harvey J.K., let's do it that day, Inauguration Day, because it happens at noon, 12:03 to be exact.
Okay.
And I have a countdown clock at NicoleSandler.com, and it's counting down until 12:03 p.m. Eastern on January 20th. So let's do it that day, because on Thursday I have Howie Klein, so we'd have to wait until Friday, and we may as well just do it that afternoon. Yeah.
Okay, let me know unless you have an hour to do. Can you tell me now the time?
Yeah, well, figure, 5:20, 5:30-ish Eastern.
Okay, so that's 4:20 my time,
right.
Central time.
Yep.
Okay,
all
great.
Right. So Harvey's booked. Sorry,
great.
Taking care of some producer business here, but we're all set. It's my new 2021 book. So,
yeah, people have
20.
To appreciate that you are a scheduler, producer, and a celebrity, and an entertainer, and a commentator. Let's say all the words I can use.
Yeah. Chief cook and bottle washer.
Washer.
So, right. Okay. So, what's happening in D.C. is unprecedented in this country. We have not witnessed anything like this before, have we? A takeover of the Capitol attempt?
Somebody today, I was actually texting with someone at Jacobin,
the socialist magazine
group. Right. I do shows with them every like 6 weeks on something historical. And the young guy, very bright. I want to actually mention his name in case anyone knows of him. Cale Brooks, great, great young producer at 24. And we go back and forth. He's like the graduate student, the PhD student I never had, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I actually used the term fascist to refer to these guys. And he said, I don't know if I use the word fascist yet. That, they're not organized, blah, blah, blah. And I said, don't expect fascism to come in the same form that it came in the 1930s to Germany, to Italy, and so on. And so I forgot where we were going with this,
happens to me all the time. So,
yeah.
Talking about when fascism comes to America, it's not going to be.
It's not going to be necessarily in straight lines,
right?
Like like Hitler's stormtroopers and those kinds of folks,
right? And actually,
come in the form
of an antichrist named Donald Trump.
And in fact, one of the things I referred him back to was Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we saw the makings of the ranks, between the white supremacists, the Nazis, and the Klansmen. I mean, they all came together and in fact did go two by two, I believe, marching through the University of Virginia in Charlottesville,
right,
with their
tiki torches,
right? Shouting, what was the word?
Jews will not replace us.
Jews will not replace us. That's it.
And,
right.
You and I both appreciated that, I'm sure.
I mean, that was the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment where I knew that what was possible under Trump. And then the cherry on top was his remark after the death. I believe it came right
of Heather
after
Heyer.
The death of
Heather Heyer, who was run over in a car on purpose,
right,
by one
of these fascist types.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he said,
there are very fine people on both sides.
On both sides.
Very fine people on both sides.
Yeah, and he just mobilized the very fine people today to go crash into the Capitol building.
The Capitol. The U.S. Capitol. They broke in.
That's right. Sorry. You asked me.
Yes.
Was this unprecedented?
Right.
Okay. Here's the first thought. It is the first time that the Capitol has been invaded since the British during the War of 1812. Okay.
Wow.
But let me put it also in context. And that's why Cale Brooks came to mind. Because he said something about, well, this is what you expect from 45 years or so of neoliberalism. I said, I agree with you, but it's not enough. Because listen, the bonus marchers, the veterans of the World War I,
mm-hmm,
who were truly destitute during the Depression and organized a vast bonus march on Washington and came from all parts of the country in their thousands and tens of thousands and occupied land in the Capitol, calling upon Congress to pay them the bonus that the Congress had said they would pay them in 1945, and they wanted it early to survive the Depression.
Okay.
They never invaded the Capitol.
Right.
Israel, okay. And then in 1963, when 250,000 marchers for jobs and freedom, okay, civil rights march for jobs and freedom, at which Martin Luther King spoke.
Of course, that was the March on Washington. It was right. About jobs and freedom, yes.
Right, and it was a massive, peaceful demonstration. Nobody invaded the Capitol, okay? Mm-hmm. The Women's March, okay?
Well, the Women's March was completely peaceful. It was just a beautiful, amazing day.
Right, so we have many an occasion where Americans have gathered and marched in tremendous
huge
numbers.
Bigger than these numbers.
Right. And let us also point out that the Black Lives Matter protests never sought to invade the Capitol building.
And they weren't violent. They got violent when those people, these MAGA trolls, showed up and got violent.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is unprecedented what took place today.
And it's frightening. It's really frightening. I can't even imagine. And I'm sorry. I think the people like Ted Cruz, who stood up, he was the first senator to go, I sign on to the disagreement with the Arizona votes. I sign up. And that then they split off. You know what? Ted Cruz should be impeached. Josh Hawley. All of these fuckers who helped this along. They should all go. And all of those members of the House who want to overturn the results of the election, then you're not legitimately elected. You can't just say, the votes for Biden don't count, but the votes for me do.
Yeah. No, you're right. Oh, by the way, I was watching the video and the audio and video you were showing before of prior occasions of counting the
electoral,
verifying the vote.
Certifying the vote.
And I had actually forgotten, I can't believe I had forgotten how House members had stood up.
Yeah, they did.
To challenge. And the tragedy was not what Joe Biden did, because he did exactly what the law and rules required
him to do. And what Al Gore did as well. But
the fact that not a single senator, not a single Democratic senator signed one of those.
Not even Bernie. I mean, none of them.
Well, to not go on the record in that fashion, I'm right. Astounding, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Looking back on it now, the Democrats need to grow a set. I'm sorry. They need to get tough. And Joe Biden, he's got the biggest challenge of the universe right now ahead of him. And he has made some noise, Harvey J.K., and this will get us into the Four Freedoms. He has made some noise about we need an FDR type of presidency. We need a new deal. It's right there for you. It's called the Green New Deal. Hello. It's a massive jobs program. We have that. We need huge infusions of economic help to people who are right now on the verge of something worse than the Great Depression. You know that you're a historian. I'm not. Right. I'm just a rock and roller turned talk show host. So, so 80 years ago today, FDR talked about the Four Freedoms. So tell us what happened.
Yeah. Well, first thing we should know. Okay. So 80 years ago today was what we would now call the State of the Union Address.
Ah. Okay.
At which FDR spoke to the Congress assembled together, joint session, and to the nation by way of radio. And he was warning Americans, that when the fascist dictators want to strike us, because let's not forget, all of Europe at that point was essentially occupied by Nazi Germany and fascist Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to tell Americans, because they had the intelligence, they knew what was probably going to come, though they actually expected something from Germany even before Japan, I believe. And he warned that the fascists will not send us a note or not call us on the phone to tell us they're about to attack. And it's imperative that we prepare ourselves for that possibility. And we do so by supporting Britain against the blitzkrieg that Hitler was conducting by air and water against the British people. So what he did is he lays out this imperative that we become the arsenal of democracy. But then he shifts gears late in the speech and he says, this does not mean we will cease to do what we have been doing these past 8 years, because he had just won re-election in 1940 to a third term. And this was 8 years of New Deal activity, where jobs were created, where people were afforded relief, where Social Security was enacted, where workers were guaranteed their right to organize unions, where Southern and Midwestern farmers were for the first time ever given electrical lines to their homes because of the creation of rural electrical co-ops. I mean, it was a massive transformation of the American landscape, of the American, so in many ways, the political and social order. So here he wanted to let Americans know that if indeed we prepare for this possible attack, this doesn't mean we bring an end to the New Deal, because if we're going to fight the fascists, we've got to be healthy and we've got to be prepared. And then he sort of backs away a bit. And this is a moment where, in hindsight, I'm convinced he was drawing inspiration from the Declaration and the Bill of Rights. And he says to Americans, we should look forward to a world characterized by four fundamental human freedoms. The first was freedom of speech and expression, and he said everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. The second was freedom of worship. In other words, freedom of religion.
Right.
Now, the first and the second of those freedoms are, of course, embodied in the very First Amendment to the Constitution, Bill of Rights, First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to declare a very American set of ideals, but he was framing them in terms of the possibility of making them somehow official policy. Freedom from want and freedom from fear. Now, the Republicans didn't applaud very loudly, if at all, when he said those two things. Southern Democrats, I do not believe, applauded freedom from fear very, very assertively. Why? Because, in fact, they were, you know, Southern white supremacists who mm-hmm. pursued apartheid in the South. But it was the case that if you listen to the tape, which I've done a number of times, it is extraordinary the amount of applause just from the Democrats and those who were progressive Republicans of that time. And there were progressive Republicans at that time. So those four freedoms became, if you like, not just the slogan, but the ideals for which Americans fought fascism in World War II. And in many ways, I think Americans still carry those ideals, though they've been under assault and under siege ever since the 1970s, especially with the likes of Ronald Reagan and the New Right, and these last 4 years with Donald Trump and the really hard right.
FDR was obviously a very special president. Did he start out that way, or did he rise to the occasion?
Well, I think a lot of people like to believe that he didn't start either way, but he did actually have the aspirations to be a very progressive president. If people read his speeches on the campaign trail of 32, they'll see that what he did is he actually lays out his priorities and even his vision for the next what becomes sort of 12 years of his presidency. However, he didn't go in with the idea that he was going to somehow turn the world. He wasn't necessarily going to do all the things he eventually ended up doing. But he was a very effective president in this respect. He actually encouraged Americans to not only mobilize to fight the Great Depression, but also to mobilize and create the labor unions that the new laws were empowering. But he also did another thing, and it's really interesting. Even liberals don't want us to remember this. And here's what it is.
Okay.
He essentially invites Americans, encourages them and invites them to push him. He actually, in 1935, he told his cabinet to go out and tell liberal and left and labor groups to mobilize anew. Mobilize mm-hmm. because, and this is his own words, new laws unto themselves do not bring the new millennium. In other words, you're still going to have to fight
right
to make these laws real. Okay. And they did. Labor unions were not automatically accepted merely because there was a National Labor Relations Act. I mean, big corporations at that time created armories, truly armories on their premises. In some cases, probably a more modernized armory than some of the local National Guards ever had.
Hmm. Wow. I know your feelings about Joe Biden are similar to mine. I'm still thrilled that he is the president-elect because it means Absolutely. We will be rid of Donald Trump. And I Right. also think that Biden has his heart in the right place. I just think he's just not, I'm sorry, he's 78 years old. He's not exactly plugged in with the youth of America. And here I'll give Bernie Right. a thing and say he is. He surrounds himself with young people with that energy. I don't see that from Joe Biden. And I think he is, again, has his heart in the right place. I just worry. That's why I think he needs our help. I don't know that he's willing to take it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. And I can tell you that I began to get a bit hopeful when he started dropping the three letters, FDR.
Yes, you know, me too.
That he aspired to. But here's what worries me. And this is why I hope progressive voices and progressive leaders don't feel like they have to retreat or simply declare war on him. I don't want either one of those. But what they do need to do is start speaking truth to him. And here's what I mean. Did you, I don't know if I didn't catch your show, if you did that on that day, but did you play the tape at all of his meeting with the black sort of civil rights folk in a meeting behind closed doors with several black leaders?
Oh, Biden? No.
It was taped. It was taped. This was about, I'm going to say a month ago, maybe okay. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I did.
It was taped. It was taped, and it was not supposed to be released, but I guess it was The Intercept got a hold of the full tape.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing in it is that his tone of voice that he used with these African-American citizens, leaders themselves,
I know where you're going.
Was almost like it was arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogant.
It's condescension.
They were kindly.
He's condescending.
They were gracious. Sorry?
He's condescending.
It was that classic Biden tone. And I thought, what is he kidding? And he refused really to answer their questions. And he all but said, look. Well, he did actually say, I was the first to do this, and I was the first to do that.
And like he said to Charlemagne the God, you know, if you're going to vote for Donald Trump, you ain't black. What are you fucking doing?
Right, exactly.
Who the fuck
are you? Yeah, so that moment worried me that he couldn't seem to transcend his own arrogance or something. Yeah. So, you know, and I thought to myself, if Bernie is really a friend, he needs to go in and grab Biden by the scruff of the neck, you know, that kind of thing. And say, Joe, I'm going to save your ass, Joe.
Right.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Okay.
And this is what we don't know, though, Harvey. We don't know. Look, I know they're friendly, and Bernie has been nothing but gracious to Joe Biden.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it works in both directions. Let me just say that.
No, I don't assume that at all.
No, I don't see that at all. But Bernie has been nothing but gracious. And I know that he would love to be the progressive ambassador to this administration. But it doesn't seem, as I said, that that Biden wants it. Did you hear the news today? We have all been speculating on who he's going to pick for attorney general. Merrick Garland? I guess it's a fuck you to Mitch McConnell, and I kind of appreciate that, but really?
Right. Well, you're right about the fuck you to Mitch McConnell, but here's what I had a brief moment of fantasizing over the weekend when I thought, okay, he hasn't named. Now, keep in mind, I don't want Warren or Bernie in the cabinet.
Right, because they need to be in the Senate.
Making the Senate act. I want them there. However, you know, I allowed for a moment a sort of fantasy where the reason that Biden hadn't named either the attorney general nominee or the Department of Secretary of Labor that is nominee is that he was going to name Warren the attorney general and Bernie the Secretary of Labor.
Which would be wonderful if the Democrats weren't so bad at what they do, because
they
should have picked up a lot of seats in the Senate. They should have won the Senate. It shouldn't have come down to today, which they pulled out a Hail Mary, and thank dog that this happened.
That's right.
But they should have picked up a lot of seats in the House and a lot of seats in the Senate. And the fact they didn't shows that, first of all, Tom Perez never should have been chair of the DNC. And second of all, the Democrats need a change in leadership.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, if they can't automatically see, although I think she'll turn it down because I think she's still looking to be governor of Georgia.
Stacey
Abrams.
Clearly,
you know where I'm going. Stacey Abrams clearly should be the head of the DNC.
She should be the head of the DNC, but she doesn't want it. Yeah. She wants to be governor.
Right. Right.
I posted that's something right. this morning, when I, actually middle of the night last night.
In fact, maybe that's why I think I'm recalling something that you posted.
Yeah, I said something along the lines of, it looks like we're losing our YouTube signal. Something along the lines of I bet they don't like me showing CNN because, you know, whatever. Something along the lines of and now I just have my brain fart because I'm trying to figure. Okay, we're back on YouTube again. It's probably just my signal. But so I said she doesn't want it. She sadly she doesn't want that. She's waiting to run against Kemp for governor of Georgia. And some idiot, ostensibly a liberal, bit my head off for not phrasing it the way I'm like. I think your ire is directed at the wrong person here.
Right.
I'd love to see Stacey Abrams running the DNC. We'd actually get something done, but I understand her wanting to take her rightful place as governor of Georgia because I think she probably won 2 years ago and it was stolen from her.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're getting close to the end of the hour, Harvey J.K.
Right.
And so we talked a little bit about the fight for the four freedoms. Sorry, we've kind of been hijacked today with what's going on. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures.
Yeah.
The Capitol building, right, they say, is now secure. Do you trust that? They infiltrated the Capitol. They were in private offices. They were in Nancy Pelosi's office. They were on the floor of the House and the Senate. Do you trust that they didn't leave little presents around? Would you go back in there as a member of Congress tonight?
Well, I'm sure then I can't imagine they're going to let people back in until there's a real security cleanup job. That's my assumption. OK.
And the other thing
I'd like to know. Yeah. I want to know by tomorrow morning how many arrests were made.
Exactly. Because these people are just strolling around without a care in the world. I'm not seeing any guns hanging out, but they're going about their business like a typical tourist day in Washington, D.C., and the cops are just standing there. And again, every one of those Black Lives Matter protests that I watched throughout the summer, the cops weren't this accommodating to those peaceful protesters. These people broke into the Capitol. I'm stunned. I just really can't believe what has happened today. And apparently part of one of the goals was they wanted to spend the night in the Capitol. They're saying it's secure. I don't buy it.
Yeah. And I also want to add that for all of this talk by these right wing pseudo patriots about blue lives matter.
Yeah.
There were quite a number of blue lives who were injured in this melee that they created.
Oh, were there today, you think?
Yeah. There were officers down. What do they call it? Officers down, I guess. That doesn't mean they're killed, but they were not. Clearly, they were injured. They had to be taken away.
Interesting.
Taken away.
I guess we'll find out a lot more.
I understood that there was a woman shot.
There was a woman shot. We saw her. I was watching MSNBC, and she was pulled out on a stretcher, bloody. And if I read correctly, she was somebody who tried to scale the wall of the Capitol and going through a window, and she was shot. I don't know who shot her. It's probably one of, you know, her fellow protesters, because I don't think the police opened fire on anybody.
Right.
Because they're white. I'm sure we'll find out more as you know, the day goes on, or tomorrow. But today
I would
add,
by the way, just for the record, that a lot of the officers in D.C. and the Capitol would be African-American. It's not it's not the all white forces that you saw in many cities.
But we do know that the police unions are aligned with Trump, and a lot of them, these are his people. And, you know, that's why we saw some of these Capitol police were taking selfies with the, quote, protesters, who weren't protesters at all. I'm sorry. They're terrorists.
You're creeping me out. What a tragedy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What a day.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on for the hour.
Well, thank you for joining us, Harvey J.K. People can find you on Twitter at Harvey J.K.A.Y.E.
And we're going to see each other two weeks from today.
We have a date. Is it 2 weeks
you
from
bet.
Today? It is inauguration day.
Yes.
Two weeks right. from today. And boy, so much can happen between now and then.
Right.
Stay
Take
safe.
Take care in the meantime and stay healthy.
You too. Thanks, Harvey.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Harvey J.K., he is one of our favorites around here. And I'm thrilled that he can join us. I'm glad he was with us today. D.C. curfew is a minute away. All I can say to everyone is stay safe. This is not America. This is exactly America. This is what Donald Trump has wrought. You make him president, and this is what you get. As Mitch McConnell said, elections have consequences. Oh, I'm already late. Already lost progressive voices. So I'll leave you with his words, okay? Here you go, Mitch. Whoops. It would help if I backed it up. Let's do this. Let's
or,
do
a huge, a large number.
I will
of...
never forget a oh, word you used
hold
on the...
Well, third time's the charm. Here we go. What do you say, Mitch?
You know, you can't win them all, and elections have consequences.
That they do. All right. See you tomorrow, everyone. Stay safe. Bye.